So, welcome back to the Perpetua podcast. So, this week we have Denise. Denise is our head of Rhythm Ride here in Perpetua. So, included in that is running that, as well as she teaches Rhythm Ride with us here. Denise is also a bar coach and has a really interesting past on her performances in a professional dance world and stuff. So, I suppose, welcome, Denise.
Oh my God, thank you.
No worries. So, I suppose, let's start off on that then. Back in the day, you know, how did you get into... How did that come about, and into the sort of pro dance world that way? How did it come about through your childhood and stuff?
I kind of always was moving from when I was young. I started with gymnastics, so I was competing for like the county, for Leinster, doing all that stuff. Okay. But also dancing on the side, just because my sister did it. I was like, I want to do that because she's doing it. And ended up absolutely loving it, and taking it a bit more seriously, I suppose, than she did. Then with competing with gymnastics, it obviously kind of clashed a bit with what I would need for dancing, which is ballet, essentially. Okay. And so I had to start ballet really late. So kind of stopped competing with gymnastics and doing all that, because I start like professionally, like properly working in the dance world when I was 16. So stopped competing with gym.
Okay.
And just kind of got into dancing then. Yeah.
So, and did you miss then, when you sort of transferred into that competing space, or away from that sort of gym space, did you miss that, you know, because obviously you started when you were very young, sort of about six-ish, was it? Did you sort of miss that aspect of it, going away from that sort of training? Or were you sort of excited to throw yourself into that new world?
A bit of both. I think I had done everything I could with gymnastics, I suppose. But then when I went to uni, so I ended up going to uni for musical theatre in London.
Very nice.
When I was 18. I turned 18 and literally flew to London the next day.
Okay.
And that was it.
Absolutely.
10 years.
Ran off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I honestly, when I was 17, I was like, oh, I want to get out of here. Like, I knew. I just didn't want to be in Kildare.
Nice change of scenery.
Yeah, but which is mad, because now I'm back. I'd never go.
Okay.
Back. Yeah. It's so weird. But anyway, I ended up, when I got to uni, I was doing musical theatre, so I was dancing all the time and performing and stuff. But we also had societies, like you do in all universities, but we had cheerleading. So I auditioned to be in the cheer squad and got it and absolutely fell in love with it. Like the competitive side, because it's literally like, bring it on. I don't know if you've seen that.
No, I haven't, but I can imagine.
Yeah, there's literally competitions you go to. It's so much fun. I loved the team element of it, because you need each other. Yeah. Like, I was the one that went up into the sky, so I had to trust everybody that they'd catch, like, no matter what. And sometimes they didn't, and that hurt.
You want to have quite a bit of trust in them, I suppose, as
well. Yeah. But then it also kept, like, the gymnastics side of it and dancing. So it had everything... basically that I loved in one. So I kind of got really, really into cheer alongside my degree. And sometimes that kind of actually took over.
Mm. And like, then do you think a big sort of element to that was the sort of competing side, and the sort of buzz you get off the competing side? That sort of, does that come then from the gymnastics background? And then as you go into that sort of pro dance world and into that sort of area of competition, is that sort of then found in cheer?
Yeah, 100%. Okay. Like, and it's so funny because I don't compete in anything now. I think I'm also like, I'm good.
Okay,
I don't mind like competing anywhere.
You've done enough of it.
Yeah, but sometimes like when I see the CrossFit stuff, I'm like, oh my God, like it looks so exciting. Yeah. But also, I don't know if I can ever do it. I'll try maybe one day.
Next Academy's
I'll get my personal trainer, Owen McGregor, to help me out. But no, yeah, with the cheer stuff, it was, you become like so close. Like, two of my best mates are two of my cheerleading girls that I met like friends with from when we were like 18 doing cheerleading.
And that was from the college cheer,
that was in London. So we, you have to obviously train like crazy for it, and it's really hard, but it's so fulfilling and it's exciting because you have to perform. Like with gymnastics, you had to perform in a sense, but not with your face, if you know what I mean. Like, it was, it's a completely different style, I suppose. Yeah. But with this, you were like always on. And because I was a dancer and a tumbler and in the stunts, I was quite like on it from the minute we were on the mat, because I was kind of in every section.
Do sort of everything. Yeah.
And that's why I absolutely loved it. But
not getting any breaks.
When, no, maybe that's the way I am today because of that. Jokes. But with, like, the competitions, you as a team, it just feels so fucking fucking good to like win and like, or just compete together. And if it goes well, regardless what happens, it's just such a great buzz. And yeah, with gymnastics, you're competing a lot on your own.
An individual sport, I suppose. Yeah, and can so be quite lonely in that way.
Yeah. And then with dancing, it's the other side of it where you're competing to be in that cast, in a sense, like when you go to auditions. But then when you're in the cast, it's like amazing, happy days. But then there's also the slight, like, somebody could still want to be like front center in that number. And like, there's still all those little.
Yeah, a lot of politics
sides.
In the background, I'd say. Yeah. Absolutely. Everyone's sort of trying to get ahead themselves in a way.
Yeah. But which year? I don't know. There was just something like. It was for the team, like everything, wherever you were.
You're working together in a way.
Yeah. And I just loved that. Yeah.
And then to tell me a little bit how that then went on from once you left university then in London, how did that cheer sort of path? Did you stick with it? Did you go anywhere else with that?
Or
how did that end up?
Yeah. So I always wanted to be one of those NFL.
Okay. Cheerleaders.
Cheerleaders. Oh, Dad. And I like literally looked in how the. Am I allowed to swear?
Yeah,
oh my gosh, sorry. Not. But I was like, oh my gosh, can I like go over there and audition? And what if I get it? And how can I stay there? And obviously it's America, so it's so complicated.
Yeah.
So I kind of had to give up on that dream.
Okay.
But I was like, what can I do here?
What's the next best thing?
That will tick that like box for me. That's all I ever dreamed of. Like I was like, anything else, sweet, happy days. But I really just want to do this. And I did, there was like different bits that came up or whatever, but with cheer, my dad supports West Ham.
Okay.
And they used to have dancers back in the day called the Hammerettes.
Sure.
And they were doing a reboot of that, basically. And I was like, oh my God, I'm not going to tell anyone.
So that was a perfect,
perfect
opportunity.
Because I was like, tick, I'll like let them be really proud of me that I've done something that they're like, my dad's obsessed with. And like, it'll just be like, funny. But yeah, so I went to the audition. I was like, I'm not telling anybody because what if I don't get it? And then like, that would be a shame. But I ended up getting it and like they were buzzing and it was like fun and it was amazing as well. Like the girls from that team that I met as well, I'm still such good friends with today as well.
Sure.
But we got to like perform in Upton Park because it was when they were in Upton Park, not when they were in Stratford.
Absolutely.
And it was wild. Like, I was there for like a Millwall versus West Ham match one day, and that was
crazy.
Like honest to God.
Had you ever been to a game before anything with your dad? No.
No.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, like in, but not in like Upton Park.
Okay.
But like Millwall and West Ham as well are like absolute rivals. And we were going on the tube that morning. We had to get there like earlier, and then we were in the stadium and we were getting ready, whatever, and we could hear there was like noise or whatever. And we went outside and the Millwall team were coming into the stadium.
Okay.
All the West Ham fans went right up to the bus. And we were like, oh my God. So then we went upstairs. We were
quite
in
a big difference to the gymnastic meets and stuff.
Oh my, Like I was like, lol, what the hell? But we went upstairs to like one of the boxes and stuff. And they were like, girls, go home early. So like they did the forever blowing bubbles and the bubbles were like going and everything. They were like, girls, you're just go home because today is wrong.
Get out of here.
So you're like, oh God. But then we did like Celebrity Soccer 6 and all that and like performed like in Upton Park.
And so how long did that go on for then? Was that like a season long thing?
Or
sort of a section of a season? Or
I actually can't even remember how long. And I don't know if it was the same time or when that stopped. Leinster Rugby.
Okay.
Then auditioned for cheerleaders and I was like, oh my God, sick. I'd love to do it at home too. So we did like one of the matches for them in the Aviva, but then I don't know if the fans were up for it because they lost that day. So I don't know if it was like
bad juju.
So we never did it again. But the literally we have proper cheer uniforms like with the Leinster.
One and done, I suppose.
Yeah, that was it. But it was great and it was so much fun. We did a stunt and stuff and that, so it was fun. But then I went to Hong Kong with it as well and did like
very good.
Yeah, that was amazing and dangerous kind of too because it was so hot. So
and
like
was
I
that
slipped
again
through arms
in the sort of sports world.
That was cheer.
Okay.
Doing a cheerleading show. And yeah, it's so much fun. It's such a great adrenaline rush. But it can go bad too. Yeah. Like I've had two concussions. I've had like, yeah, bad injuries.
Yeah. And then what's the training like for that? Is there a lot of sort of, obviously it all looks great when you're on the pitch and stuff and you're performing, but I can imagine there's 20 times, if not more, the work goes in when you're off the pitch.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like we'd have training a few times a week. And like, you'd have to keep up. You have to like try new things. I did like different. So you have a main like group, and then we did a group stunt where I competed with four of the lads and me. So it was like a co-ed group stunt competition. And that was one of my favorite because we could do more stuff and like the lads are so powerful. So it was pretty good. But I got injured before that. One of the lads, we were doing a stunt and I fell through his hands, but he decided to catch me with his knee.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Soft landing.
Oh my God. I had the biggest bruise on my back and we ended up coming second, which we were like, yay. Oh, it was so sore.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, you'd have a lot of injuries and like different bits, but the training, yeah, is so hard. Mm.
And then so while you're sort of doing all that cheer stuff, is that your sort of full-time gig at the time or are you doing bits and bobs on the side or how does that work? You sort of working elsewhere?
Yeah, dancing as well, like doing different shows and stuff. And then in London with the like performer world, if you're not in a show or sometimes if you're in a show, you work in like fitness as well.
Okay.
So either front of house or like coach and stuff or stuff like that. So you're always kind of in and out, I suppose. Yeah, but sure I wish the dancing was like that in Dublin. I think it will eventually. It's like smaller and it's growing.
Yeah.
And now with more studios like this too, I think it'd be, if I was a dancer now in a college, I would work here like part-time because one, you can go to all these incredible classes and be around a really good like team and get your mind in a really good space. But also you could easily like come to love it and coach it and grow a career in that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you were working in a studio over there?
Yes.
In London at the time?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. And that was a cycling studio?
Yeah. I worked at a few of the boutique studios over there. But yeah, I worked in Cycle in London, which was absolutely amazing.
Okay,
like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Is that where the sort of love then came for a ride and stuff?
Do you know what? My first ever class there, I hated it.
Okay.
Like, which is mad. True. But I absolutely hated it. I was like, get me out. Oh my God. Like, it was
a big turn.
Yeah, because I was like, but I was not used to it at all. I didn't think I liked spin and I wouldn't be partial to like a normal spin class. I need rhythm.
Yeah.
But I wasn't used to being clipped in.
Okay.
And it was dark. And it was really warm and there was these two big men beside me.
Mm-hmm.
And over there, there's not a lot of like room elbow-wise, like to the next person.
Yeah.
And I just remember getting so overwhelmed because it was so loud as well. And I was like, oh my God, how do I get out? Oh my God, I can't. Like, unclip my feet.
And I'm escaping here. Yeah.
I was like, oh my God,
death
oh my God.
Spin class.
Yeah. And then I was like, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah.
When I came out.
Okay.
And then like, I worked there, so obviously you're around it all the time. It's like, okay, I'll give it another go. I'll go and I'll do another class. But I was absolutely immersed by the instructor. I was like, she's incredible. Oh my God. But I'm so scared. Like, my fitness was not what it is now either. So it's like daunting. But then I went again and I was like, oh, actually. And then I like kept going. And I was like, hang on, I'm actually addicted now. And I loved it.
Yeah. Okay.
But I didn't teach it for ages because I was doing a show. And our dance captain was a bar instructor.
Okay.
And bar is like a low impact, high intensity. It's like ballet.
Sure.
But there's a mix of like yoga, Pilates, strength. But you work a lot on a turnout, like a ballet, like at a ballet class. So you hit different muscles, like smaller muscles and stuff. And I love it because it's to music as well. I find it really hard to not work to
work
the beat.
Music,
yeah,
sort of,
which is so pathetic.
I suppose that comes from the dance background.
We did a show and for the warm-up she did a bar class.
Okay.
And we were like, yeah, grand, like it's we're dancers.
Ah, yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. We were shaking like crazy. And we were like, we have a show to do. Like what? And I just was hooked to fitness then. Like I've always been into fitness and whatever with gym and dancing, but this was different.
Mm.
It was more kind of for enjoyment. Know what I mean? Whereas in the past it was
purpose driven sort of,
yeah.
To get fit and stuff.
Yeah. Whereas this, and obviously, like, I wish I also had that at the start of my dance career, because it changes your body as a dancer. Okay. Like, it works out what you need as a dancer. But yeah, I remember being hooked and was like, I need to do this. So I got a qualification in that and start coaching that first on the side. And then it wasn't, for a little while until I started rhythm.
Okay. And then did you coach bar then in London, was it?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, and did that go on for very long?
There was a couple of months and then the pandemic hit.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, stunning.
Just start to hit your groove, you know?
Yeah. But then I took it online and it was brilliant. Like, it definitely kept me going through all of this. And it definitely, like, there's still girls that I talk to now that, like, take classes, or people that from here that come to, like, in-person classes now.
Okay.
So it was brilliant. But yeah, it was a bit of a spanner, I suppose, that pandemic.
So then I suppose when the pandemic hit, what was your plan? Did you stay in London at the time, or did you come on home, or what did you do?
Yeah, I was in a show. I was literally in a show. So I think here you closed down sooner than England, something like that, anyway. But we were in a show in Liverpool on the 16th of March. Literally tomorrow. And we were like, oh my god, what's going on? They had shut down the country that day. Like, we were in backstage getting ready, and we were like, do we go on? Like, do we do the show? What's going on? So we were like, we'll do it, because we won't have one for a few weeks so we may as well do it, whoever turns up. And like, some people did turn up, and do you know what, it was a great audience, even though not everybody turned up. The audience that came, they must have been on the same buzz as well, who knows, for a few weeks and then that was it. I never actually did that show again, like, because
it's a quick goodbye.
Get going. And then I came home in the September, found here in the October.
Okay.
And was so happy, because I was so depressed. And then,
and you joined Perpetua's front of house staff, am I correct?
Yeah, okay. And then that night, my first ever shift on front of house, that night Ireland was shut down again. I was like, bye.
Okay.
Like,
so
what?
you're the bad juju going around. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god. Which is when you're 29, by the way. You're not there yet, but be prepared.
Okay.
When you're 29, life goes crazy. But then when you hit 30, it's stunning.
Okay.
Again.
Yeah.
The Saturn
return.
Just
got to get over that hill.
Yeah. But no, it was funny. Like, I met all these guys. Okay. And then I just did not want to do nothing during the pandemic. So, or during that lockdown. So I worked Mojo.
Okay.
With Shar, with one of the girls that used to work here. And Owen would be in and out. Okay. Sometimes working out. So you'd see some people like coming in or whatever when we could, and
at least get you out of the house and stuff, and get you you sort of social at the time, and you know, at least you're with people, you know.
And then and because we were working and we were here, I would go into the studio and get online classes and just do it, or just go do stuff there myself. And then finally, when stuff start opening a bit again, I auditioned for here.
Okay. And how did that get? Good. Good. Was it a seamless transition,
Chris,
from Mojo to coaching?
I actually went from Mojo back to front of house.
Okay.
And then I did Mojo and front of house at the same time for a while.
Sure.
And then I auditioned for I have done it all, I think, here. The only thing, CrossFit next.
Yeah. It's on the list.
Then I auditioned and thankfully got it. And then just start doing more and more.
Sure.
And then transitioned away from front of house and Mojo
to sort of full-time coaching then?
Yeah, because I started doing sweat too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. I never knew that.
Really? Okay, oh my God. No. Yeah. I think like a year ago, probably, I stopped teaching sweat. Probably before you started.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then, so tell me a little bit about, like, how is your sort of coaching and ride changed then over the years? Like, how long ago, that, I suppose, maybe 2 or 3 years ago now, you would have started ride?
Yeah.
Yeah.
3, probably, yeah.
Okay.
It's changed so much. So much. Like, I think the whole studio has changed, like, so much in the best way. Like, we've yeah, it's brilliant. Like, there's so much to always like strive for, I suppose, and there's such good coaches around. And like, okay, from where, yeah, we started with rhythm, I think the whole indoor cycling like industry itself has probably leveled up so much in the last years too. Or just gotten the recognition, yeah, I suppose. So you see loads on social media or people discovering it because they're going to different cities, and now that they realize they can do it here in Dublin as well.
Okay.
Our level and our standard has definitely risen, which, sure, is brilliant.
Yeah. And then did you feel like it was great help having the sort of coaching background in, yeah, the other sort of classes as well as the sort of like performative background then coming into rhythm ride coaching? Was that sort of like you could hit the ground running from day one and it sort of was like, okay, I have a lot of the pieces of this puzzle. I just need to like put them together and maybe go from there. Did that,
yeah,
sort of help a lot?
Exactly that. Like that's, and the same now for our audition process. It's always easier, I suppose, or it's helpful if you've been a coach.
Okay.
Because there's so much you have to look out for during a class.
Sure.
That's not just coaching what you've programmed. Yeah. Like you constantly have to be looking that everything's okay, or something could happen to somebody back there, but you have to keep everybody else in check.
Okay.
Or this has happened or that. There's so much else we have to look out for. So having like coaching experience is so helpful,
sure,
to like transition to coaching something else, yeah, I suppose. But yeah, and keeping the rhythm is, yeah, also so,
yeah,
yeah. So like it can be so hard, but if you've got all of that or the experience of just something else that your body, okay, you can
even just, I suppose, being used to like commanding a room in that way and stuff,
yeah,
you know, that then that sort of stuff becomes second nature and you can focus on the sort of programming and whatnot, you know,
yeah,
rather than sort of starting from zero.
Yeah, which is, okay, like, it's doable.
Yeah.
And we've had people who have never coached anything other than this.
Okay.
It just takes longer.
A bit longer, yeah.
Yeah, and you have to want, yeah, yeah, you've to put in the work yourself.
Okay.
So that's what's, like, the amount of hours that I spent in there on my own.
Mm.
Like, even having coaching experience before, it's still like a different style, so you, okay, want to always be on it, but you have to put the work in,
yeah,
yourself sometimes.
Exactly. And then I know you guys recently had over Zach, was it, from the States,
yeah,
to sort of do a couple of days with the team and improve, I suppose, and get a bit of wisdom from him. So,
yeah,
how did that go?
So good. Yeah. Did, okay, you did the class?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. I was thrown into that one. Into,
yeah,
the deep end.
So good. Everybody, like, some people's first time in there.
Absolutely.
Smashing it.
Some people nice and smooth on the bike.
Yeah.
Not so much, you know?
Yeah. No, he's amazing. It's just so good to have somebody so big in the indoor cycling industry,
okay,
have been here.
Yeah.
And like, we get to share time with him and learn
his brain,
stuff.
I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also here, like, he had such good things to say about the team, which, and like, the atmosphere here.
Nice and reassuring, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you wonder, I suppose,
yeah,
are you going in the right direction?
Exactly.
Like, okay, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cool.
But yeah, it was brilliant.
Okay, absolutely. And then, so at the moment, auditions are coming up soon, I believe. Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about those and if people are interested, where they can go to sort of sign up for those and what then that audition process is going to entail. Sort of, you know, how long it takes and what they are to expect.
So yeah, we have a whole nearly new team that we're gonna bring in.
Okay.
So we're gonna do auditions April 6th, which is a Saturday. We get people to prepare 3 songs.
Sure.
So one would be like a choreography track, one would be a double time track like sprints, and then one would be a climb track, so a heavier. You might not have to do it all. Sometimes we can see,
okay,
if you have it or
if
not.
You've got it, yeah.
Yeah. Like, honestly, simply, sometimes it's just by if you can hold the beat and,
yeah,
speak at the same time.
Okay.
Like, it's so small, but it's so,
yeah,
needed, like, with what we do. So that's probably the hardest thing, is talking while coaching.
Yeah,
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 yeah. And that's what I always say to people before the audition, like, start now. Start, like, literally go into a room on your own. And as stupid as it might feel, just start coaching,
yeah,
to yourself,
okay,
while you're on the bike.
Yeah.
Or walk. Like, put your earphones in or whatever at home and walk around and do and say,
yeah,
what you
how
would
you'd
do.
Go through,
yeah,
yourself. Yeah.
Just to get, like, that into your body already. So yeah. Because then when you get up on the podium, it's so different as well.
You've got some reps in already, I suppose. Yeah.
And yeah. You don't want to
build that sort of muscle memory from
there. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Because you panic, or like the nerves kick in, or oh my God, now there's a spotlight on me and I have a microphone on me and all these people are looking
people
at
are
me.
Watching me.
Yeah. So you want to prepare as much as you can. It's not one of those where you can jump up and unless you've experience in like, if you've coached
a different sort of
before.
Studio type class or something like that elsewhere,
and boutique fitness classes and maybe other kind of gym classes are completely different too.
Exactly.
So there's a performance element to here. Not that there isn't in other places, but it's about an experience, like from the beginning till the end. So being able to act in a sense as well is like needed.
Helps,
But yeah, so we look for three songs. You might not have to do them all. The atmosphere in there is amazing. It's honestly, and that's something I tried to bring in, because coming from an industry where it's cutthroat and you're just a number at these things, I don't want that
people
here.
People to feel like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Like you might audition three times before you get it. It doesn't mean you're not good at it or you're never going to get it. It just means you might have
the time back
then. like I could be looking for something really niche this time and I might think you're incredible, but there mightn't be space on the team for you right now.
True.
Whereas in a couple of months that space could open up and that's what's needed then.
Okay.
There's so much more that goes into it, I suppose, but the audition is fun. Like, we've always had like really good feedback about it, which is brilliant. And like, people turn up as in the team, like even some of the other guy, like David always comes, which is so sweet. But it's just good to show, I suppose, as well what you'd be in if you worked here too, because I think the atmosphere around here is absolutely brilliant to be part of.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. But so then if they get through, they go to a training weekend. And then from then, it's a lot on the individual.
Okay.
So there is a process that we will get them to do their three tracks. They'll get feedback. They'll have to video it, send it. They'll get more feedback and video again.
Sure.
So there's a lot of self like driven stuff, I suppose.
Yeah.
So it kind of as well shows me if
they really want to sort of get there or not. Yeah.
Yeah. Because as much as like, we're an absolute team and there's always support, it's hard.
Yeah.
So you have to want to do this job, and you have to want to like put in the work yourself.
Sure.
So that kind of eliminates if people have the time or not for it. Trying to find like just fitness people in Ireland too is hard, because it's a hard industry to like be in and have it as your full-time job. But I think it's up and coming, I suppose, more in Dublin now. But yeah, there's all of that process.
Okay.
And then they get to a freedom ride where the community comes in. They might do a podium ride with me or one of the other instructors as well. And then they're on timetable.
And then they're ready to go.
Yeah. But it can take a few weeks for some people if they have experience. It can take a few months for people if they don't.
Sure.
It can take someone a year sometimes to get up. But
just all depends on the individual, I suppose.
Yeah, and what they can put in as well. Because our process, we have like a timing on it.
Okay.
And after a certain time, if it's not done by that, work away yourself and come back again the next
round. Time those auditions and stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, so you'd encourage anyone and everyone to give it a shot? Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Like, anyone that has rhythm.
So
not looking at
Owen out of that equation.
Sometimes people that haven't coached anything before and now only coach this, they're incredible.
Yeah.
Like, so good. Once you know it, you get what it is. Once you've been to loads of classes, once you are comfortable, and only when you're ready for it to not be about you anymore, then be a coach.
Yeah.
And I think that goes for any kind of class.
Exactly.
Because the minute you get up on that podium, it's not about you anymore.
Okay.
So if it's your passion, and if it's something you do to get away, and it's your fun thing, if you've nothing else that is that, I'd say keep it.
Yeah,
keep don't it be that a coach.
Way. Yeah.
Because it's so different when it's your job.
Yeah.
And it's not your workout. Like up there, that's not my workout.
Yeah.
I'm like,
it's for everyone else.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's a huge thing for me. And I always say it as well. I'm like, it's okay if you're here right now, but you realize, oh my God, I actually am up on the podium. I don't want this. I like just being the participant. Yeah. That's so fine. Sure. Absolutely so fine. So until you're ready for it to not be about you and you feel like you have something to give to other people, then it's time to coach.
Yeah, they're all ready to go.
Yeah.
Okay, I suppose so. We'll leave it on that note.
Yeah.
Encouraging everyone to try it if they've ever thought about it. So April 6th, was it?
April 6th,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, perfect. Well, Denise, thank you very much.
Thank
that was really
you.
Good. No worries. Perfect.
Whoop, whoop.
Alrighty.